Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, to pluck the low-hanging fruit of the literati, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
All right, we're back. The Mike and Judy Show, broadcasting live from Roberta's here in Bushwick on the Heritage Radio Network.
I think we should let our listener know that that today is a very unprepared show, as our guest has not even arrived yet.
She'll be here soon enough. Katie Lazarus, comedian and writer, will be here soon. But first, Judy, you just came from a bridal shower.
Not a baby shower. Bridal showers are slightly better than baby showers because you don't have to effing coo at onesies. Brides get ripped off so bad because bridal showers, it was like a tasteful bridal brunch, which was really nice. Everyone was nice. I didn't have time to eat, so I only had a cocktail. That's probably why I'll be a little chatty today. But like, men meanwhile get bachelor parties where they go to Vegas and screw hookers for the weekend. We get brunch.
Okay, that may or may not be a myth. I'm not copping to anything, but I think that's the old model. I don't know that people are still doing that anymore. Isn't it now?
Well, my boyfriend isn't going to any goddamn bachelor party in Las
Vegas. Whoa, is there something we don't know? Are you getting hitched anytime soon, Ms. McGuire?
No, but he has to go to the bachelor party for the wedding I went to the bridal shower for.
And did he screw a hooker that you know of?
No, it didn't happen yet. So he hasn't screwed a hooker yet.
and how are you with that?
Oh, screwing hookers? As you might imagine, I'm really okay with that because I'm sort of like a hippie.
Yeah, free love, man. What I really like, the best part, is that you actually use the Mike and Judy Show to make a quick exit. You're using our radio show to get out of social obligations.
I didn't use it. I'm just a bad planner.
It's good. Well, at least you didn't get caught on the Brooklyn Bridge. At least you didn't get arrested with what the New York Post referred to today as those goddamned hippies.
Well, Jack, our fabulous engineer, informed me there was a drum circle there, and that is like a Judy repellent.
Yeah, that is good. The truth is, if there was a drum circle, I will join the party with the calling them goddamn hippies. Speaking of the New York Post today, you know I'm completely outraged at the front page of the Post today. Protesters take Brooklyn Bridge, and here it is in the big 36-point type. It says, shit hits the fan.
I don't think it says shit, does it?
Okay, maybe not. But it's very clever. It's a visual pun. It's the S is a dollar sign, the H is a pound sign, and the I is an exclamation point. Guarantee you from 10 feet out, you couldn't tell the difference. It's vulgar. It's not appropriate. And, you know, like I said, inside they call protesters goddamn hippies. It's just a level of vulgarity that I'm not comfortable with.
I find it kind of funny that the author of the upcoming book, Dirty, 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 is so offended by the S word and the GD word.
Well, thanks. No, it's true. My book is unapologetic about pornography.
Also, and available for pre-order on Amazon right now.
Thank you very much. But I'm about the concept of the unwilling public. I'm not foisting any smut or vulgarity on people, especially a paper that claims to be a family newspaper. This makes me fucking insane. And especially this douche Phil Mushnick, who's been their TV reporter, who's also a big anti-wrestling zealot, by the way. But in the meanwhile, He accuses CBS, the entire network, of being nothing more than a, quote, pornography channel.
Whoremongers.
So, right, because there's too much sex, there's making out, there are dirty words. But meanwhile, the Post has the word shit predominantly on the front page. The fact that it's a visual pun is just really splitting hairs. And then, of course, in the back of the paper, you have the hooker, Ashley, who is giving you advice on when to tell your girlfriend to get her sex worker. She's a hooker.
Not anymore.
Okay, look, not all sex workers are hookers, but all hookers are sex workers. Okay, not all fish.
I swim in the sea,
therefore I'm a fish, you know.
The New York Post exists to give you high blood pressure because every week you are outraged by some aspect of the New York Post.
And yet I love the New York Post. I'm a loyalist. I just don't understand this hypocrisy, of course, well, it's true, I do understand it, but selling sex on the front page and complaining about it by, you know, an idiot like Phil Mushnick or Andrea, the woman who was always wrong, Pizer, on page six, it confuses me. It's fucking up my brain.
Hypocrisy is part of being an American, Mike.
I feel like this is what Ted Nugent felt like when he first heard reggae music. Like, his brain just seized up and rejected
That's what happens when I hear reggae music, too.
You've probably heard the wrong... it's the Years at High Times, you know? It just sort of casts such a bad...
Bands who could, you know, be wiped from the earth and I wouldn't care. Grateful Dead, Bish, any reggae band.
You're painting with too broad a sword. Any reggae band.
Oh, like, don't even get me started on jazz, Mike.
That makes me fucking insane,
Cage
too.
Cage match.
Any day you want, McGuire. I'll tell you what, you know, I'm sorry Katie's not here yet. She's on her way, but I like that it's just you and I. It's very intimate in a way the show hasn't been in a long time.
Let's ask each other never mind.
We did want to talk about the protesters, though.
I am for the protests.
You are for the protests. Okay, hippie, explain.
I think that it's kind of interesting that a class war is happening in America, even though they may... You know, I'm not down there because I'm like, oh, I don't want to leave my house. But then be exposed to body odor, patchouli, and drum circles, like, ooh.
Well, that is the problem, is that the protests they're so trapped in the cliches of hippiedom, the patchouli and the drum circles and all this nonsense, and they look terrible. They look out of work. They look like bums.
Well, not all of them, though. We had the pilots down
there.
That
was fantastic.
That was great. Those are some well-dressed gentlemen. We have my friend's mother got arrested last night.
Hippie.
She's not, well, she's an older hippie, though. She's probably my age.
I think, you know, when I used to go to protests, when I did this sort of thing, this was years ago, I was part of Rock Against Racism and Rock Against Reagan.
Right.
But part of the thing was you're supposed to look good and have your sound bite written before you get there so you don't come off as an idiot when you're on someone's TV camera.
Well, and adding, like Jack was saying, they added sort of Troy Davis to the end of the list. It's like, what does Troy Davis have to do with Wall Street occupation? Really not much.
Well, that's the problem with this protest. It's been largely unfocused. I agree. There is, I don't know if there's a class war. There probably should be, though. And that's, I guess, what they're trying to ignite.
Yeah, or at least a class uprising, or at least some sort of awareness.
I'd rather call it a populist uprising than a class uprising, because I think it encompasses too many people and too many quote-unquote classes. You know, it implies some sort of caste system. We're talking about 1% versus 99%.
Well, no, Bloomberg corrected us, saying the protesters are against good, fine Americans who only make between $40,000 and $50,000 a year.
They may be inconveniencing some of the cogs in the wheel on Wall Street, but the truth is, I saw on one of the websites, perhaps Facebook, one of the social media sites, people who are saying, I am one of the 99%. How many people do you know that are unemployed right now?
I'm underemployed.
Underemployed. How's that working for you?
Yeah, it's not working.
It's
so
hard
well.
As hell to get a job right now.
Yeah, it's hard. And when you do get, a call for work, it's like, well, can you write for, okay, I'm just going to say it, Esquire.com.
Yeah, fuck. Right,
$50 bucks a post.
And I'll say it right now. Fuck them. What happened with that gig? I remember we talked about it.
I pitched a few things, and, you know, it's like, I've already used up my $50 worth of pitching. I'm not going to pitch them anymore. If they want me to write something and... You know, they come and give me a foot rub, too. It's not worth it. At $50, I've already spent an hour of my life.
Every time there seems to be a recession, every time that there's a dip, of course, advertising dollars is one of the first things that goes. We've both been in the magazine world and, you know, we've been worth working writers for many years. Everybody wants more for less. They fire staff. It's never seemed to replace the positions when the economy turns around. So it's just sort of a new status quo of everybody doing a lot more work for a lot less money. And then they stop paying writers less. And now, of course, everybody thinks content should be fucking free.
Yeah.
Content is not free. What we do is valuable.
Our guest is here.
Is Katie here?
Yes,
she's
here.
All right. Well, bring her right in. Jack, please. Bring in Katie. But to finish the thought on this, I'll offer you $50 for 600 words on a reported piece, which is what I believe it was.
Yeah,
it's just fucking ludicrous. You're not a college intern. You're a professional journalist who's published books, and it's just fucking outrageous. Hey, Katie.
Hi.
There you go. Why don't you put on those headphones, and there's a microphone for you, and during the break, we can get you liquored up.
And I can just stare at all these hipsters. This is amazing.
I don't know. I think the demographic has definitely aged here.
Yeah, well, a review in the New York Times will do that for you.
In both directions because of all the children that come here now.
Oh, nice.
I know, but they're hipper than I am, too. Look at that four-year-old's outfit. I'm sure her name is like... She's just the at sign.
All right, so we're joined now by Katie Lazarus, comedian and writer. We're just talking about how hard it is to get a job, and we're talking about the what the New York Post refers to as those goddamn hippies.
What are your thoughts on the occupation?
Honestly, like, I think it seems like a great job if you get paid for it to occupy.
Yeah,
I would love to do it. No, in terms of I believe that my cultural and political leanings are probably in line with most of the, with like 90% of those people who are on Wall Street. However, like, I do think we come across looking as sort of silly.
You've already aligned yourself.
We are sitting at home not stinking of patchouli or B.O.
I don't have a handlebar mustache, but you're closer because you have a goatee, so I'm putting you
this
in
this is not
in
a goatee. This
column.
Is a Van Dyke, okay?
Okay, Grandpa. Do you think any of these kids know what the hell a Van Dyke is?
No, and fuck them, frankly. They don't. I mean, listen, I remember when hipster was not a pejorative, when hipster was someone who was into Lenny Bruce and Dizzy Gillespie.
That is a totally fair thing. And I actually grew up as a misfit of a child, and now I look at people on the L train and I'm like, because you look like everyone else doesn't make you hip or
these are the fake hipsters. I swear, I've gone on this rant before, but they play dodgeball, and no true dork in school enjoyed dodgeball.
Unless you're a sadomasochist.
Yeah, okay, well.
I guess that comes later, where you're like, oh, this is fun getting hit.
I like that.
Oh, I can pay someone to do this to me. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, we were all, you know, what I'd like to think is sort of proto-hipsters in the best sort of the way. I mean, the word hip just meant that we were a little bit ahead of the curve. You know,
yes.
there was a nature to just being aware, to being a little bit avant-garde, knowing what was happening, to being one percenters, not the 1% that the 99% patchouli-smelling, drum-circling hippies on the bridge are protesting, but the 1% who really knew what was happening, what was cool culturally.
I think some of those people are probably doing this in earnest and like really care about politics, but it's kind of like, I used to think the people in the 60s were all about civil rights, and
no,
I'm sure like 10%
of them
were.
A lot of them were about getting laid.
Exactly. Yes. And so, like, I mean, I think that now that you're an adult, you can look at it, or as I'm an adult now, I can look at it and be like, oh, wait a minute. I can be a little more discerning and be like, some of these people are just having fun.
Yeah, but you've seen these people on the bridge. I mean, do you want to sleep with any of them? I mean, seriously. I think maybe just the quality of protesters has gone down over the years.
I don't think you're a middle-aged woman, so I'm not sure you can look at it from that perspective.
I'm definitely not a middle-aged woman.
We're like, oh, he has a pulse. Okay.
He's a job.
I'll be
too.
Open.
Free
love.
Is it that rough out there? I mean, is it harder for a middle aged woman to get laid or to get a job?
Oh my god!
To get laid is like the easiest thing in the world. To get a job is significantly harder. To find a man who's actually going to stick around and be worth your while—that's impossible.
Who acts like a man?
Yes, that would be 43% or 41% of women in New York are single.
Yeah. I got good news for you, ladies. I am the last real mensch, and employed.
That's two things going in the right direction.
All right.
No, I really do believe that those folks who are occupying Wall Street have the right intent. I mean, it is sick that no one in Wall Street has been prosecuted.
Yeah.
We spend so much money prosecuting someone who's smoked pot or done something that is a petty crime and therefore should get in trouble, but we don't do anything about the Wall Street billionaires who really did F up the economy.
I agree. These fuckers should be in jail. You know, a lot of these people should be in jail and throw away the fucking key. It's economic rape. I mean, it's nothing short of that. It's absolutely terrible what a lot of these people are doing.
I prefer the term sexual assault, but keep going.
Well, you obviously haven't been tuned into the Mike and Judy show for very long because political correctness is not something we do here.
I did force him to say sex worker instead of hooker.
But like I said, like,
step in the right direction.
Not all sex workers are hookers, but all hookers are sex workers. Okay, this is fair, and I have nothing against the hooker in the New York Post. Like I said, I don't blame her for bringing down the governor. I blame the governor for bringing down the governor. What I blame her for is writing a lousy column.
Yes. Well, yes. I'm sure she doesn't even write it, Mike. You should blame whoever, the poor intern who's in charge of, like...
And my problems with the editorial staff at the New York Post, who use the word shit on the front page, and goddamn on page two, and on page six have Andrea, the woman who is always wrong Pizer, screaming about sex on MTV,
and that moron
Phil Mushnick calling, you know, some sitcom pornographic.
Wait a minute. You're the one...
There's the butt-shaving story from the hooker.
You're referring to the New York Post's editorial staff, and I think that in and of itself is problematic to use the word editorial with the New York Post. You know what you're getting with the New York Post.
Yeah, I'm probably giving them too much credit. I just think it's a tough... road to hoe when you call yourself a family newspaper and you use that much vulgarity in it.
It depends whose family, right?
You know what?
Everybody always like throws their arms up and looks like I'm on the crazy train because I am a known pornographer.
Engineer. You're driving the crazy train.
Wait, so I didn't know this. So are you a pornographer?
I guess once a pornographer, always a pornographer. You know how it is.
My parents would be so proud. Mom, Dad, if you're listening.
I haven't written any real abject smut in a while.
In a while. Oh, there was the incest novel, but...
That was a long time ago.
You wrote a novel about incest?
Three or four of them, actually.
Three or four of them, wow. Wait, anyone's incest in particular, or one you were hoping to achieve?
But I just more recently I wrote about someone... Chip Maloney, the world's last great pornographer, who's going to be a guest soon, yes. Who's still writing incest books.
Ay, ay, ay.
No Daddy, It Wasn't a Dream.
Ew.
Me and You and Daughter Makes Two or something.
On that note, I think we should go for our break. This is going to be the dulcet tones of the exploited singing class war.
And then we're going to get Katie loaded during the break.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
That was the exploited. I once had a mohawk that was bigger than Waddy's. I stood next to him and made my friends measure, and he felt very insecure about that.
These hipsters here don't know who Waddy is. They don't know. No, they don't know who the exploited is. And certainly for all the maybe a faux hawk or two here, but not the kind of commitment it took.
The commitment
that you had. I remember that. Holy cow! You look like a circular saw.
How long does it take to do those? Because I think we are all in the same age bracket. Because I used to worship the kids with mohawks when I was young. I would wear all black, but it would be from a spree. Like, I was trying so hard.
I hate to break it to you, Katie. We could be your parents.
Yeah. I think that's pretty clear.
We could be Seinfeld's parents.
I feel like if you guys were my parents, I would be the most straight-laced. Like, yeah. Right now,
just
I would
rebelling against everything.
Totally. I'd be working in banking and wearing Talbots.
And we'd be out front protesting.
You know, back when I was out on the road with Reagan Youth and we were doing the Rock Against Reagan tour.
Who's Reagan? I'm sorry.
Reagan was an American president, very popular. Followed this, what was his name? Jimmy Carter. He farmed soybeans in Arkansas or something. Yeah, the peanut farmer.
Cheating
no one remembers.
In his heart.
I mean, people just don't remember.
My
Jimmy
dad
Carter.
Worked for Jimmy Carter.
Your dad worked for really in the peanut farm? Because your people don't strike me as like sharecroppers.
I cannot imagine. My dad looked at a microwave when I was young, and he was like, this thing boils water, sweetheart. It's amazing. I was like, that's how you got out of a microwave? Like, yeah, no, he definitely did not work on the farming aspect.
But back when we were doing the punk rock thing with Reagan Youth, I could remember the guys on the bus like taking notes on how to create the mohawk. Ivory soap was like a popular thing to use. It was kind of like the secret ingredient to keep it sharp and spiky.
Is that true?
No, I used, before they took the cancer-causing agents out of Aquanet Extra Superhold, you brush it, you hold it up straight, you spray it with the Aquanet Extra Superhold, and then you blast the blow dryer on it. And it,
How long did that take you in the morning?
I didn't do it every day. It was a commitment. If I was going out, I would do it. Otherwise, it was just like...
If you're going out on a hot date?
If I was having a hot date, yeah. Or if I was going to a club, because you would always get into a club really quickly if you had a foot-high mohawk.
And, is that because they wanted you there as eye candy?
Because for the freak factor. Like, I was seeing this guy from Australia once, and we went to this club called Area that was, like, a big downtown club.
Oh, God.
And there was like,
what a nightmare. I remember that place.
I loved it. There were, like, hundreds of people out front, and I woke up with him, and he's wearing a dress, and the guy's like, come here. And I was like, I'm cool. For once in my life, somebody thinks I'm cool. They're not threatening to beat me up.
That's good. You need a mohawk going out with a guy in a dress.
Shut up.
But it does seem kind of high maintenance to have a mohawk.
Yeah, but, I mean, you shave the sides. That's a pain in the ass. I also had two mohawks for a little while.
Jesus.
Shave shaved in the middle with bangs. That was a,
and the bangs were the worst problem of everything, right? Those were the hardest to do.
Shaving what in the middle happened? Without lopping the whole thing
off. Where
did
your parents go wrong? Well,
or right. Let's look at it from a different perspective.
Glad to see you're back on the straight and narrow.
Yes, well, I think it would be a little silly at
such as it is. By the way, Katie, have you ever smoked angel dust?
I have not smoked any.
You broke our perfect record.
I don't even know what
angel dust. I don't even know what angel dust is. What is angel dust?
It's bad for you. Stay away.
I'm allergic to dust. I'm Jewish. What is angel dust?
That's what I say. I say, stay off school and stay in drugs.
It's a crazy animal tranquilizer that people used to put in joints. Most people didn't smoke it on purpose. When I smoked it, it was not on purpose.
Yeah, someone would hand me a dusted joint.
I don't understand how that happened. That never.
Well, the results weren't always negative. I must say
it was something that was big in like the 80s. It was.
But see, I missed out on everything.
Yeah, you missed all the fun.
Yeah, yeah, of like dusted joints.
Of thinking you're gonna have. This is like one of the many reasons I hate pot, because it's like you think you're just gonna smoke a little pot, maybe, you know, zone out, but then all of a sudden it's like a psychedelic experience that you did not sign up for, and you just feel like you're gonna throw up and. There's noises coming. Ugh.
Speaking of which, aren't we due for another like pot tasting show? I can't wait.
Wait, I just want to visit. The one time I got stoned was at an Upright Citizens.
The one time you got stoned? So your number is one?
Girl.
Last week we were talking about the number. Yeah. Okay, and your number is
so this
one?
This is at a UCB party not too many years ago. And I was like, who is this guy who is selling brownies? That is so rude. He's at a party with his friends. And I started yelling at him. I was like, I really think that's insensitive. This is a New Year's party. If you want to bring gifts for your friends, bring them. So finally, he like gave me a huge cookie because he was so irritated that he wanted me to go away. I spent the entire, this is my New Year's. I was trying to negotiate peace between Kissinger and Carter. And I lived in a little studio. So I had to stay in my bathroom because I had a friend who was... for the weekend.
It was nice of them to come over to your house.
Is that not the loneliest
and
thing
and occupy your bathroom? You know, Henry Kissinger mistook your bathroom for the Gaza Strip.
It took 8 hours. Thoughtful. 8 hours to stop imitating Kissinger.
Yeah, eating
and Carter.
It. Eating All it right. is very intense.
World peace, insane. According to Katie Lazarus.
And it didn't. It didn't happen. So now I knew not to get stoned again.
So speaking of solving the world's problems, Katie, yes. We should talk about your show because you were solving the world's unemployment problems.
Yes.
I understand.
One show at a time. Thank you so much. I was so excited that you guys. Had me on and were even interested. I got laid off from my job. I wouldn't say it was a dream job, but I was writing educational animated cartoons.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't get another job to save my life.
Stay in drugs and stay off school.
This is the key. Well, this is what's missing, clearly, is that I should be smoking more. Although I've been told that when you are smoking a lot, that's a key indication that you will remain unemployed. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you'll also gain a lot.
Well, we used to have a job where smoking was sort of one of the prereqs, but that was kind of an odd thing. We both worked at High Times at one point. Yeah. Where,
oh, you did?
Yeah, and you know where everybody was drug tested. Identify this pot. Identify this acid. Identify this.
Wait, so at High Times, are you drug tested? And that's like the positive. Like if you're drug tested you have drugs in you, they're like, okay, sweet, we can hire you now.
I got in trouble because I don't smoke pot, but my assistant, when I hired him, I was like, you can't smoke pot until after 5 because I need you to help me. And then when he started smoking pot. You know, at noon, I yelled at him and I got called on the carpet. Like, you can't tell him not to do that. This is a pot magazine. Like, well, pot makes you retarded.
Yeah, well, the problem with High Times is, yes,
I prefer developmentally delayed.
They forgot that I said, stop thinking about it like it's a pot magazine and start thinking about it like it's a magazine. You know, 25 years later, deadlines are not supposed to be a freaking novelty.
People aren't getting drunk at Wine Spectator all day. I don't think.
Well, they may be
functional alcoholics. I mean, I feel like there are people who are functional potheads and functional alcoholics.
They're high-functioning potheads, but I'll tell you, they're not working at High Times.
No.
Okay. Is High Times still going?
Define going.
Yeah. It's
but tell us more about
your
show,
at low
okay?
times. It's more at low times now.
So you lost your job.
So I lost this job, could not get interviews, but I found like I could interview people... who like their jobs, and they just like wouldn't necessarily hire me, but they talk about how much they love their jobs.
Oh.
And so then I was like, you know what? There are a lot of people who want to in, like they want to know how to be a Muppet or how to save the world for a living, you know? And I was like, why don't I just share those informational interviews? Cause that's one thing I can do is I can go up to anyone and ask them.
I have blue fur and I eat a lot of cookies. Can I be a Muppet?
Can I be a Muppet and I eat a lot of cookies? Oh, because you like just Cookie Monster?
I like a lot of the Muppets. The only ones I don't really like, I don't like Big Bird. He kind of, you know.
Carol Spinney.
Yeah, it's a little.
That's the guy who plays
him. You know, his ambiguous sexuality kind of threatens me, I admit it.
So wait, is one of the guys on the show?
I'm still trying to rework.
Monday, is he a Muppet?
Yeah, yes, but I'm still trying to rework the idea that one of the Muppets has ambiguous sexuality, since none of the Muppets, for the most part, are supposed to have any sexuality.
Except for Ernie and Bert.
No, actually, there was a big statement from Muppet HQ, from the Muppet Command Center, because there were some, probably some of the New York Times with their homosexual agenda. You know, they said, when are Ernie and Bert going to get married? And they said, well, Muppets don't have any gender. They're just a couple of Muppets who live together
and they're felt
friends,
and they're felt or inanimate objects.
That's right, they're felt, but seriously,
so it's hard for them to have sexual leanings because they don't have those hormones.
Yeah, I reckon.
But
not what I want to believe, though.
But and I desperately would love to work for Sesame Street, so I probably shouldn't ask this. Kermit and Miss Piggy's relationship is really out in the open, even though they're
hypersexual.
Then
why isn't
crashing the myth right now, Miss Piggy? Yes. Okay, that's it. It's Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy.
Okay.
What did I say? Miss Piggy?
No, you said Miss Piggy, but you said genders.
It could be
Muppets
her drag name.
Muppets don't have genders, but it's Miss Piggy, and
I was acknowledging the contradiction and saying
she is all woman.
She's also played by a man.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. A very talented one.
I would think so.
I guess so behind every influential woman is man. So we have Murray the Monster, the head writer of Sesame Street. Joey Mazzarino is on the upcoming show this Wednesday.
And where can we come see your show, Katie?
Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Chelsea in New York, 307 West 26th Street. It's at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, October 5th.
The Upright Citizens Brigade, because when you said UCB before, all those mohawk-wearing 80s punk rockers thought it was some hardcore band.
Not GBH, UCB. What's the website there so people can buy tickets?
Awesome. UCBtheater.com, or you can go to the show's website, which is employeeofthemonthshow.com, or my website, katielazarus.com.
Katie with a C.
With a C. I know it's not my fault. My mom named me after a Jane Austen character. A boring one.
And I understand Jane Austen was a man also.
That is not true that I know of, although that would make her even more interesting, because then it wouldn't just be like Jane Austen and zombies. It would be like Jane Austen and her transgender.
So if we go to your show, will we get jobs?
I'm hoping for the same thing. That would be the most amazing show, right? I hope that you meet other people. What I do on purpose, part of the reason I do the show live in addition to doing the podcast, is so that you can actually ask the people on the show questions yourself.
Oh, cool.
Because I hate going to things and you don't get to say, well, actually, I have a question about your work and I have a question about how hard it is to get in, or I want people to come and I want them to ask whatever they need to ask, or say like, hey, I really want to write for Saturday Night Live, or I really want to be a set decorator on this. What do I do?
So how easy is it to get the job writing for Saturday Night Live?
I don't have it, so I don't know. But I hope that you can go there and make connections, certainly, and also learn from these people's experiences, because there is something that certain people do that gets them in the door.
Right. Leaving their house is certain step things they do.
I have heard about that, and I'm going to start on the showering part.
I meet so few people watching TV at home. Polishing my bong. So, Judy, what's your dream job? Speaking of...
Yeah, what is your dream job?
My dream job is to create and write my own TV show. Not be on it, just create
you
and write it.
You can't be on it because you're too hot for television.
I know, I would be cracking tubes all... Well, I guess there's not even tubes anymore, but...
I have a face for
the fact that you think
internet.
That there are probably disqualifies you from that job?
What?
The fact that you think that TVs still run on cathode ray tubes probably disqualifies you?
You should have seen the TV I had when my boyfriend moved in. It was like 6-inch screen with a built-in VCR. He's like... Where's your television? I said, there it is. And he's like, that's not a television. So he bought a giant thing into the house.
Ooh, that sounds
nice.
Men
and their giant things.
Did you keep him or the TV?
I kept both.
Oh, wow. This is great. This is a 2-for-1 deal.
This is a love story.
A love story.
I bought him on the internet.
Love here at the Mike and Judy Show with Katie Lazarus today. So
that's your dream job. What's your dream job, Mike?
Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to either be an astronaut, was at a time when astronauts were heroes. We've since passed that, unfortunately.
Yes, now they're a tax.
It's just, you know, it's so sad.
On society.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, we got rid of it.
Pitcher for the New York Yankees, that ship has sailed, have I aged out of that position, but now since I've been divorced from the New York Yankees, which we've spoken about.
That's tragic.
But no, the idea of being a relief pitcher, just to come in and throw, three outs, one inning at 2,000 miles an hour was like really, really a turn on. Or like all boys want, I still want to be a professional wrestler.
That's a practical dreamer, though. Like to be like, I want to be the relief pitcher. Like somehow... as a kid, you knew you couldn't aim too high for the pitcher. You were just like, I'm going to be the relief pitcher. That seems like a reasonable
thing.
He knew
how lazy he was.
Lazy? I just thought that was a hot job. You get the call, you come in, you shut him down, you walk away, and you start pounding the bud.
I really like that you were like, you know what? What can I really aim for at age five? That seems realistic.
Isn't like football like a kicker? Isn't there some guy who just does the kicking kicker?
Substitute kicker?
This is great. I can't wait till we do the Mike and Judy sports special.
Oh, my God. We've just exhausted
I know
all
about
my
nose guards.
Now.
I know about nose guards.
I don't know. Nose guards?
Is that a position in football?
I think it's something you put on when you snort the cocaine.
Oh. See,
have you ever done cocaine?
No.
You got stoned once.
You're so
no
good.
Cocaine. Your parents did all, right?
I hope at least you're a little slutty.
I wish I was a little more slutty.
You know, this reminds me that, you know.
This is like the Amish edition.
You better get with it, Katie. This reminds me of that old Mark Twain story. He's sitting at this old woman's deathbed. She's dying. And he says to her, "Madam, do you drink?" "No, I don't drink." "Madam, do you smoke? Are you promiscuous?" "No, no." He says, "Just as I suspected, a sinking ship with nothing to throw overboard."
I do think that's fair, though. I go to this clinic because I can't afford health insurance, and it's a gay, lesbian, transgender clinic in Chelsea. And every year when I go for my checkup, you can tell the nurse is like trying to encourage me to do more because they're like, "Do you do math?" "No." "Do you have sex with men, women, and children?" "No." It would be a good idea if you got out more. Like, by the end of the session, it's never like, "We really need you to use condoms."
"We really need you to come talk to the teens," is what they're thinking. Like, quit these. So what is your dream job, Katie, before we close?
My dream job is to be a Muppet, and I would also love to be a writer and do voiceovers. That's really all I want to do. So what we
don't
do
you
now,
kinda,
just
don't you
get paid
do
for
that?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do what I do, but just get paid for it.
Yeah, the dream.
The universal dream. And on that high note, this has been the Mike and Judy Show one more time, broadcast live from Roberta's here in Bushwick on the Heritage Radio Network. Yes, Judy, you have a final thought?
Check Katie's show out on Wednesday night at UCB Upright Citizens Brigade in Chelsea.
Absolutely.
Thank
Please
you
find
so
her
much.
On Facebook. She is awesome.
Thank you. Mike, you guys rock.
Mike and Judy, Heritage Radio Network. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The Heritage Meat Shop has just opened in the Essex Street Market. Open from 9 to 7 Monday through Saturday and 10 to 6 on Sundays, the Heritage Meat Shop supports independent family farms and animal welfare approved and certified humane raising standards. Most importantly, they offer a wide variety of heritage breeds. So stop by, get a sandwich, try the charcuterie. The Heritage Meat Shop at the Essex Street Market.